Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I know there are people out there that believe it, that the earth is flat. I dare say, just please drive to the end. And when you get to the end and you fall off, well, we'll know what happened to you. I love that whole exchange, too, because he was so convinced and needed to tell me all about how the earth and the sun are the same size. But also, at the end, when I was sort of done and over with it, he is just on and on. And what am I doing? Sir, sir, sir. Like I'm some type of a telemarketer trying to get his attention. Sir, sir, rein it in. Let's rein it in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thank you so much for joining us on what is a significant day in our nation's history, one way or another. And it's not just the presidential election. Of course, there are congressional and gubernatorial, senatorial elections. There are ballot questions all over the country, important ones that will decide, make major decisions, but decide and shape what direction our states or individual states will go. It's a day that I revel in, though for the first time since I was registered to vote, going back to when I was 18. I'm actually not voting on Election Day because I already voted. Weird. I don't know why. We decided to vote early. And so we did. We went last week and I got my sticker. There is evidence of that in our latest YouTube video. But if you're like my brother or some of my other family members who want to go the day of, I hope that you enjoy the experience. We actually did. Even though we waited for 90 minutes, it was just neat to be part of what I believe is a privilege and a special process in our nation. And so I'm not working tonight, getting a chance to be a news junkie and stay home with my hubs and watch the election together for the first time. And we'll watch the coverage of it. And I hope that you will have an opportunity to exercise your special democratic right today, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Glad to have you with us on what is a Tuesday morning in the wake of week 9 in the NFL. You guys, we're past the midway point of the NFL season. Even for those teams that have not yet had their bye or already taken their bye, this is it. We're past it. So, hello. How did that happen so fast? I think October, just baseball making things so busy, chaotic, hectic. But now here we are, and it's good to take stock. We just don't get a whole lot of time to do that, right? Because there's NBA, there's NHL, college basketball started on Monday, and the NFL still drives the bus, baby, as do those Chiefs. It's crazy to think about the Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce version of the Chiefs, right? So this most recent winning iteration, the group that's got the 3 Super Bowl rings and is trying to become the first team ever to three-peat, they're actually in uncharted territory. For the first time in franchise history, a team has won 14 games in a row. The Chiefs, I mean. one of the Chiefs teams. Have won 14 games in a row. That was awkward. Not as though the show was perfect up to this point, but there goes the perfect hour, right? The Chiefs have won 14 in a row. That's never happened before in their franchise history, even with all of their previous success. And the fact is, they've not been playing all that well, at least on the offensive side of the ball. The defense has been terrific. At times it's been, but not break, but it's so full of veterans and guys who have been there, done that, just don't get flummoxed. They seem to come up with the big play when they absolutely have to have it. The offense, though, well, it's been unsettled. Patrick Mahomes throwing a bunch of interceptions. He would tell you, too, he's not played his best football. We've heard that from him. And what some are calling maybe a bigger story that it gets credit for or that is highlighted is the number of injuries they sustained on the offensive side of the ball. And yet somehow, I know, it's like magic. You insert guys into the system, and because it's a tried and true system, because it's guys who desperately want to make a difference with the Chiefs, this is like guys who would show up to play with Tom Brady in New England. With Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, that's the type of success, the system, the foundation, the culture, certainly the fact that you can plug and play guys with a quarterback who generally raises the level of play of pretty much everybody else around him. You're just hoping you step in and you can fit and you can stick. That's the deal. They don't conform to you. You conform to them. But guys want to do that. Why? Because they win. Because they win. And because if you can take care of your business, you'll be involved. That's the deal. They'll get you involved. If you can bring a skill, if you can bring a whatever it is, an attitude, a work ethic, if you can go out there and you can figure out your role and you play committed to that role, they'll use you. I know it's Kansas City. It's the heartland. It's not LA. It's not Miami. It's not one of these cities where a lot of guys like to go to because it also helps them with their platforms and their business ventures. It's not maybe got the coolest nightlife. I actually don't know. I've not spent a lot of time in Kansas City. But Kevin Harlan's from there. I wonder if we could ask him the next time he's on the show. Maybe you wouldn't think of it as being a destination city, but it is because of the Kansas City Chiefs for guys who want to win. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Buccaneers on the road at Arrowhead Stadium. It didn't start out raining, but it was there. It was there in the offing. Here's what you need to know. The Chiefs are becoming an even tougher out, which is not great news for the rest of the NFL, but they're becoming an even tougher out because they've added maybe older, guy with a lot of miles on him, but a guy with a ton of experience, a ton of knowledge about how to play this game. They've added a DeAndre Hopkins who is just getting started.
Mahomes in the pocket, steps up in pressure again, throws it late down the middle of the left side, and it's going to be intercepted or caught. No, it's caught. Caught by DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins somehow caught the football. It looked like the Bucs were going to intercept it. DeAndre Hopkins for 35 yards. Mahomes just threw it up for grabs, basically, hoping D-Hop came down with a football.
Pat and I just out there making a play. They played good defense. They had the first initial route covered. I might have ran the wrong route at first, and, you know, Pat just, he worked with me, scrambling.
He's got a lot of trust in him, and you've seen DeAndre make those catches over his career. Get two great players thrown to each other. Sometimes great things happen, and so it's not the way we drew it up, but it was a good finish to it.
Yeah, no doubt, and every part of that had to work. Pat Mahomes said after the fact that, I just needed to wait for him. He wasn't in the right spot, but that's how it goes when you've got a quarterback who can extend the play and who's got great field vision. And the way that he dropped that ball into coverage And he was getting pressure, too. I think he may have hit the ground. The defense was right in his face. So he waited as long as he could before he threw it out there to Hopkins. And he drops it in among three Bucs defenders. And this Bucs defense is no slouch. They're one of the tops in the NFL. But he's able to drop it in there where Hopkins can get it. And, of course, his size and his experience, he can beat you with a jump ball. But even if he's not in the right place, Pat will find him. And it's been cool to see that relationship, even in two games, start to develop. This was his first time in front of the Arrowhead fans. He then tacks on the touchdown catch in the back of the end zone right after that. And so the Chiefs fans are going to like what they see if, in fact, they can continue to work on this and both stay healthy. Now, that was maybe a moment of panic for DeAndre Hopkins, the Chiefs, the fans, a little bit later in the game. So early fourth quarter, it's a good back and forth with the Buccaneers, and the Chiefs are trying to take the lead. Well, actually, at this point, they're trying to tie the Bucs. They're trailing 17-10.
Mahomes on third down and goal to go. Now a scramble to the right side. Now a flip it late, and it's caught, touchdown! Kansas City, and Mahomes is down. Mahomes is down on all fours as he flipped the ball forward to Samaje Perine for a touchdown. Kansas City, but at what price?
I was obviously running for the goal line, was kind of committed to running the football, and at the last second saw Samaje, and so kind of awkwardly rolled the ankle a little bit. Definitely scary. I think it hurt more just because it's the same ankle I rolled last week, so it scared me a little bit. But once I kind of took my breath and kind of calmed down a little bit, ended up being not too bad, and we were able to go in there, kind of get the respat, and go back on the football field.
Mitch Holt is there on Chiefs Radio. And yeah, I just saw that moment again, actually, on the NFL Network. It is super awkward. He just makes it up as he goes along. Sometimes he's not planning on throwing it. And I think in this particular case, he wasn't. He just happened to see Samaje. And there was this moment where they had to check and make sure he wasn't over the line of scrimmage. But he pitches it and he flips it. And it's just a weird kind of shot put type of emotion as he gets it to Perine, but comes up lame, needs some help actually to initially get off the field. And I don't know if you guys remember, probably Chiefs fans do, maybe going back to the 22 playoffs where he got hurt and Andy Reid, so it was an ankle, and Andy Reid made him go to the locker room early ahead of halftime because he wanted to make sure he got it checked out. And Pat got really angry. He didn't want to come off the field. He wanted to stay out there until half. And I remember Andy Reid told us, I essentially threatened him. I said, you're not going back into the game until you go get it checked out. And at the time, Pat threw his coat onto the field. He was ticked. You don't often see the two of them have exchanges like that. And so someone asked him about Andy Reid wanting him to sit out a snap to get it checked out by the trainers.
I thought he was joking. He said it, and I was like, come on, like we're not doing this again. he trusts me. And once the doctors checked it out and I was able to get back and do the drops again, he let me get back on the field.
He might have the loosest ankles in America. I mean, it's ridiculous how he can come back from those things. And then he's mentally tough. Now, when he's in the tent, I can't go in the tent. So, I mean, it's like private sanctum there. So I told Carson to be ready to go.
Carson, meaning Carson Wentz. And I haven't heard that name in a while, right? They got a Carson Steele, who's a rookie running back, but this was Carson Wentz. Pat did not miss any snaps. Come on, are we really going to do this again? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, here's what we know about the Buccaneers. Of course, they end up losing. This is their third loss in a row, so not going to get as much chatter on this morning. But they're also dealing with a ton of injuries. No Mike Evans until after the bye, at least. No Chris Godwin. They lost another receiver last night, so they're going heavy with Kate Otten. They're trying to run the ball. Even so, they were dominated in terms of time of possession. But I do love the fact that the Bucs will fight. They're always going to fight. That's the personality of Baker Mayfield. It's what Todd Bowles told us his first year as the quarterback there. And so while it's not going their way, still, they're going to push as hard as they can. And after DeAndre Hopkins caught his second touchdown of the game that put the Chiefs ahead by 7, that was with about 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, Baker Mayfield gets the ball and he is pushing downfield. Has a drive in which he completes 6 of his 8 pass attempts, including a Trey Palmer 19-yarder that put the Bucs right there on the cusp.
Play action fake. Mayfield throws toward the end zone. Caught ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A point away from a tying. Ryan Miller was open by at least 3 yards. And Mayfield sold the play action fake to Rashad White. Pulled the pole back and found number 81 in the end zone. The Bucs a point away from tying this Monday night game.
A lot of resiliency by our guys. Guys up front played well. Everybody was kind of making plays. And a lot of guys that... not necessarily had played a lot, making plays for us. So, yeah, there's a lot of positives to take away from it. But, you know, there's a certain point when you lose three in a row, how many positives are you going to take away from it before you really get sick of it?
True. Good point by Baker Mayfield. And you could see it in his body language. He's definitely frustrated. They've been in these games, right, for the most part. The game against the Ravens got away from them. At least in this game, there were no turnovers. He's had some issues with throwing the ball too high or kind of trying to do too much. And without his top receivers, this is tough. But they were in the game, forced it into overtime. And actually, Todd Bowles was asked, did you think about going for two in that situation? Why not? You got nothing to lose. You're at Arrowhead. You're in Kansas City. Why not go for the win instead of settling for the kick and the tie?
Very minor. We wanted to get it to overtime with the wet conditions on the field. We felt like we had to go in overtime instead of go for two. So we had our shots. You know, we lost the game.
So in other words, they gave it a tick, but that's not what they were going to do. I don't think they're in a situation right now where they have nothing to lose, especially in the NFC South. And I know the Falcons are right now building a bit of a lead there. They're the only team in that division that's above 500. In fact, you've got two of the worst teams in the league in that division. So it's likely going to come down to Falcons and Bucks, and they still... Well, the Falcons have swept the season series, right? So that one, they would have the tie break. But with the Buccaneers... It's still a team that, because they are likely to get Mike Evans back and because they've got a defense that can keep them in games, and because the NFC is not as deep as the AFC, well, you would expect that they could still be there in the mix if they can get a win to kind of turn things around. But Baker Mayfield at midfield, along with Patrick Mahomes, when they did the coin flip, the toss for overtime, and realizing the Chiefs had won it, it was heads, by the way, his face, just knowing that they might not see that ball again, because that's generally what happens when the Chiefs get the ball in overtime. Not always, but sometimes. So yeah, they take that ball. Pat goes 5 for 5, a big third down conversion with Travis Kelce that gets them into the red zone, and you could just feel it inside the stadium.
This is third down and one. At the 2 yard line, a touchdown, walks it off, hand off Kareem Hunt, right side, powering, he is... Give it to him. Touchdown, Kansas City. It's a walk-off touchdown by Kareem Hunt. And the Kansas City Chiefs stay undefeated at 8-0. The only unbeaten team in the National Football League. 14 straight wins for the Chiefs Kingdom. That's an all-time Kansas City record and 7th in National Football League history.
Again, Mitch Holthus on Chiefs radio. Yeah, can you believe that? With everything they've accomplished, they've never won 14 in a row, and we'll see what happens moving forward. They've got Denver up next, so they start to get into these division games. I think they beat the Chargers along the way with this 8-0 start. But here's something else, and I think this is more significant even than the winning streak, because that goes back to last year. Remember, they lost to the Raiders on Christmas Day, and that's the last game they've lost. But what stands out to me about this one is not so much the 14 in a row. What stands out to me is the way the Chiefs are winning these games that are tight. Now, this one was overtime, so of course it's tight. When was the last time the Chiefs actually blew out an opponent? Seriously. The Ravens have got multiple blowouts that I can think of. I can give you the Lions have got multiple blowouts that I can think of. Even the Saints had two blowouts on their schedule before they lost 7 in a row. When was the last time the Chiefs actually blew a team out? So there's one factor that stands out to me. And I'm looking at their schedule now. So I'll go back to the beginning. They beat the Ravens by 7 in their opener. The Bengals by 1. The Falcons in Atlanta by 5. They beat the Chargers in LA by a touchdown. They did have a 2-score victory over the Saints. And they also beat the Niners by 10 points. But those weren't blowouts by any means. They beat the Raiders in Vegas by a touchdown. And now they beat the Buccaneers in OT. I could go back to their playoffs last year, but... we know that they didn't blow teams out then either. the reason they're so damn good and why they're the toughest out in sports is because of this. They don't blow teams out and they don't need to. They're so conditioned and so experienced in these moments where they're pushed to the brink that this is actually their comfort zone. Something else that stands out too is just, and I know numbers are only a framework, but the numbers are starting to take shape for this offense. Pat did not have an interception. First time in 21 games, he's had three passing touchdowns. They were perfect in the red zone, so that's a huge deal. 13 for 19 on third and fourth down, and they were able to run the ball for over 100 yards. Only a couple of penalty flags. So this is where you can start to see, as long as DeAndre Hopkins and Kareem Hunt can stay healthy, maybe they get a couple of other guys back, but now you're starting to see them play as well on offense as they have all season. And certainly the addition of those two veterans is a major storyline. We had a chance to talk to Josh Klingler, who's on the Chiefs sideline, about adding Hunt as well as Hopkins, and we'll let you hear that answer a little bit later on. We're on the day of the NFL trade deadline. That happens actually at, is it 4 o'clock Eastern time? 1 o'clock Pacific, 3 o'clock KC time. I don't know that they're going to be going out after anybody else, but we'll see. The Lions are potentially going to make a move, and so the trade deadline comes up in mere hours. But yeah, week 9 is now in the books. Asking you a goofy question that has nothing to do with sports, unless, like one guy on our Facebook page says, he never leaves home without his George Pickens worship hoodie. Worship hoodie? I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with the term. Does that mean either you worship him so you wear his hoodie, or by wearing his hoodie, it's an act of worship?
Yeah, I think it's more rally cap-esque.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, I'm so not cool. Never claim to be cool. Maybe it is a member, a piece of memorabilia or a sports item that you can't leave home without. But otherwise, if you're like me, it's snacks and chapstick. That's what I can't leave home without. If we're giving you phone, wallet, keys, of course, you can't go anywhere without that stuff. What must you have when you depart your home for the day, or in our case, for the night? Good morning to you. Glad to have you with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
One man to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Made a guy miss. He's inside the 5. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! The center salting into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Buffalo Bills.
Play clock down to 5. Here's the snap. Back to pass. Blitz coming. Wide open, Ray Davis. 45-50. 45-40. Still on his feet. He's going to go. 20-10-5. Touchdown, Ray Davis. 63 yards.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Three receivers to the far side, two to the near side. Hurts, empty backfield. Calcaterra in motion. Calcaterra moves to his right. Here goes Hurts, going for the end zone. Devontae Smith, he caught it one-handed. I don't know if
what
he stayed. He's in! He's in!
Oh, my
One-hand! One-hand! I don't know how he did it! I don't know how he did it!
Los Angeles Rams.
Cup in short motion. Stafford takes a snap. 2nd and 6. Bootleg left side. He flips his hips. He fires. He's going deep. DeMarcus brought it in with one hand in the end zone for a walk-off touchdown. 39 yards. DeMarcus calls game.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
This is 3rd down and 1. At the 2-yard line, a touchdown, walks it off, handoff, Kareem Hunt, right side, powering, he is, give it to him, touchdown, Kansas City, it's a walk-off touchdown by Kareem Hunt, and the Kansas City Chiefs stay undefeated at 8-0, the only unbeaten team in the National Football League, 14 straight wins for the Chiefs Kingdom. That's an all-time Kansas City record and 7th in National Football League history.
Just for the record, we had some other great candidates that we wanted to use. Like, for instance, producer Pete and I went back and forth on the Cameron Kitchens 103-yard return for a TD, because that's significant. When does that happen? But it was the same game with the Rams and DeMarcus Robinson, the walk-off. That's J.B. Long on Rams radio. We'd also talked about, the Amon-Ra St. Brown, the one that was in the, actually he was in motion and going across, and then the little juke to get him in the corner of the end zone. That was terrific as well for the Lions. We feel like they win all the time. Bo Nix caught a touchdown pass, so another quarterback who was there. And personally, I love the Drake May. I know that they lost to the Titans, the Patriots did, but the Drake May touchdown and the fact that he was avoiding, evading, just trying to stay upright with the Titans defense all up in his grill. And then he's able to find Ramondre Stevenson in the end zone, even as he's falling down. That was pretty terrific. But we went with the Bills. Chris Brown of the Ray Davis 63-yarder that was threading through all kinds of defense. Devontae Smith, you want to talk about acrobatic. One-handed falling down, getting his toes dragged through the turf in the back of the end zone. That's Merrill Reese on Eagles radio. Mentioned the Rams. And then, of course, Kansas City and Mitch Holtis and Kareem Hunt, who has fit right in. Well, not quite where he left off, but the fact that he's been able to slide into that role again with the Chiefs after years away is significant. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Had a chance to ask Josh Klingler of the Chiefs Radio Network, sideline reporter, why Kareem Hunt fits in so easily with the Chiefs again.
He left under not great terms, right? And so I think it was just enough time had passed. And obviously he made good with the organization. And the fans here, you know, once they saw him have kind of fresh legs, I think it was kind of like, okay, you're back. You made a mistake. You've grown up now. Andy Reid vouches for you. We're good. And then obviously he's been performing terrifically as well. The fact that they have just not been shy about just throwing him into the offense has been kind of amazing. I mean, he basically had a crash course, and I had a chance to talk with Andy Reid after his very first game. And I said, how much of this is familiar to him? And he said, well, you know, we're still running some of the same stuff, but the verbiage is a little bit different. I thought, okay, well, they're going to kind of bring him along slowly, and they haven't. I mean, just here's 20 carries, here's 20 carries, here's 20 carries, and his running style, you know, fits with how this offensive line kind of blocks as well. It's just been a nice fit. They liked him for a reason a number of years ago, right? And obviously that went sideways, and Andy Reid, a big guy on second chances, and so I guess you shouldn't be completely surprised that it has worked, but I'm surprised it has worked so fast and so frequent that they have been, you know, not shy about, you know, throwing him in, and he's undoubtedly the bell cow.
We know the role Travis Kelce plays, and he had a season high 14 catches in this game, 100 yards right when they need it. But here's DeAndre Hopkins, who's just joined the Chiefs offense. 8 catches, 86 yards, the 2 touchdowns. How are he and Patrick finding that connection so quickly?
I mean, yeah, they crash coursed him as well. That's been, you know, one of the big stories of this year. They've gone out and made moves to cover for injuries and then got productivity right away. Last week was kind of, hey, we're going to run just a limited amount of stuff. Let's see what you can do. They obviously have gotten him on the same page. Here's what he likes. Here's what they can do. They get him on one-on-one situations. Obviously, he provides a threat they didn't have before. His catch, though, in traffic tonight with three people draped around him, I think he deked the defensive backs. I think he knew there was a window for him to catch it. I don't think anybody else did. You know, Patrick, with the ability to, he's never really been shy, I guess, about just throwing it in traffic and seeing what happens. And more often than not, good things happen. But he's pretty special, and it looks like a really good fit for what they do offensively. He's just so much different than any other receiver they had, even, you know, going through the injuries. There's no one that went out of the lineup that is similar to DeAndre Hopkins. He's a unique beast in this offense.
Just what the rest of the NFL wants to see. Exactly. And we haven't even gotten to the trade deadline yet. It is now 10 and a half hours away. So we'll see what teams might do. If you want to hear the rest of that interview with Josh, we talked about the AFC West and what's coming up for the Chiefs. Also talking about what Patrick Mahomes meant when he said, we're not in a rhythm. We're not playing well, aside from the interceptions that he's thrown. And Just in general, how close are they to being where they want to be? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our podcast is always available on either of our social media sites. And the fact that you've got old links up, don't let that deter you. You can use those because the site continues to scroll or continues to load, I should say. And so when you use an old link, it goes to the same page, but it will be updated with the most recent podcast edition. So it's easy to find at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page. A lot of you weighing in with the one item you cannot leave the house without having on your person each day. And that includes today, a special day, election day. For me, it's snacks. Although if I was stranded on a desert island and I could only have one personal item with me, it would be chapstick, because there are times I've tried to do this show without chapstick. Oh no, you want to fluster me, steal my chapstick and put it somewhere that I can't find it when I'm trying to do a show.
Got it.
Yeah, no, don't do that. It's a reflection on you. Yeah, okay. So snacks and chapstick, you'll always see those two things. See it right here? My latest is Burt's Bees. I got a deal on a big box of Burt's Bees, giving them away for Christmas presents. I had found a sale, but this one's cucumber mint. And want to hear something funny? You know how the top usually has a little wrap to prevent it from being open before it's sold? So I pull off the wrap, the paper on the top, and then pulled off the top. And sometimes when I'm tired, I'm sure this happens to other people too, at least I hope it does, you throw the wrong hand in the trash. So instead of throwing the piece of paper in the trash, I threw the lid in the trash. I just opened it up and the lid was, it was the first time I'd taken it off. So the lid was necessary, but I wasn't going to throw the whole thing away. I couldn't find it in the trash. And so now I'm walking around without the lid just because. Also, Pete, it makes me a little nervous when this camera starts moving around. Who's controlling Kaplan. The cameras in here?
That's Kaplan. He's getting ready for the Maggie and Perloff.
It's not your show yet. Get lost.
Oh, yeah. He has to test some angles.
Hey, over here. No, he doesn't. Not during our show. Tell him to wait until the next show comes on the air.
Usually he's moving them around so he could shoot me and try to get me in a precarious position.
Gotcha. Are you often in precarious positions behind the double pane glass?
No, I'm staring. Okay. Staring, right. Waiting for a cue, or waiting for something else.
Are you as funny as Peyton Manning when he's staring? Have you ever noticed when he's staring, his mouth drops open and he looks as though he can't multitask. Is the thing.
I don't do the I'm not gonna say he's clueless, but that clueless.
Oh no, he's definitely not clueless.
I'm not gonna do that look.
But yeah, it's kind of that lost in space look where you're staring. And Eli do the same thing. They're so alike. It's so funny with their different mannerisms. So at A-Law Radio, again, you can weigh in on the answer to the question. Some of you have come up with very philosophical answers like my soul. Okay. My depression, my anxiety meds. I mean, come on, let's have fun with it. Please. 855-212-4227. What do the Lions need at the trade deadline? A lot of people talking about these Lions for good reason. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
And AM, we're sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with Life electronic device and pet health insurance. Chiefs looking to remain perfect behind their newest 1-2 punch.
Mahomes calls an audible and backs up behind Creed Humphrey. Here comes a blitz. Quick pass is caught. Near side. Touchdown! Kansas City! DeAndre Hopkins on the quick left side slant. The second time D-Hop has tasted the sweet nectar of the Chiefs' kingdom end zone.
Chiefs outlast the Bucs 30-24 in overtime. Call courtesy of the Chiefs Radio Network. Kareem Hunt, 106 yards on the ground, including your game-winning 2-yard touchdown plunge. Patrick Mahomes, 291 yards in the air, 3 scores. 2 of them going to DeAndre Hopkins, who had 86 yards receiving, despite Mahomes briefly going down with an ankle injury.
He might have the loosest ankles in America. It's ridiculous how he can come back from those things. And then he's mentally tough.
That's head coach Andy Reid. As Travis Kelce had 14 catches for 100 yards, KC's now 8-0. Tampa fell to 4-5. Cowboys Dak Prescott already ruled out for Sunday against the Eagles with a hamstring injury that will reportedly sideline him for several weeks. Saints going another direction. They fired Dennis Allen after 7 straight losses as Darren Rizzi takes over on an interim basis. NBA Cavs now 8-0, clipped the Bucks 116-114 behind 39 from Darius Garland. Pistons too much for the Lakers, 115-103, worse. Anthony Davis left this one with a foot injury. Celtics roll the Hawks 123-93. Jazz outscored the Bulls 135-126. It was the Rockets 109, Knicks 97. Blazers overwhelmed the Pelicans 118-100. Suns escaped the Sixers 118-116 behind 35 from Kevin Durant. Clippers finished off the Spurs 113-104. Pacers outscored the Mavericks 134-127. Nuggets able to clip the Raptors 121-119 behind a triple-double, including 28 points from Nikola Jokic. T-Wolves dismissed the Hornets 114-93. Thunder hammered the Magic 102-86. Warriors erased the Wizards 125-112. And the Nets edged the Grizzlies 106-104. College hoops, top ranked Kansas dominated Howard 87-57. Alabama, Houston, Iowa State, Gonzaga, North Carolina, and Duke, all with easy wins. I'm Marco Belletti.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Infinity Sports Network. That's Infinity Sports Network to follow us on Instagram.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Fresh Atlantic salmon portions, 7-ounce farm-raised, including marinated portions, just $5.99 each. Delicious Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5, or just $1.25 each. This week's digital deal is the delicious Sumo Citrus, $2.47 per pound, limit 4 pounds. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Regulation. Trips right, snap back. Geno Smith hits his back foot. He has to leave the pocket, throws to the end zone, intercepted! Intercepted and brought out! 10, 20, down the right sideline, cutting inside midfield. It's Cam Kitchens all the way back with a flag down. 10-5, touchdown LA!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
As if that wasn't enough, Cam Kitchens on the Rams defense comes up with a second interception off Geno Smith on the very next drive. He was a thorn in the side of Geno as the Rams rallied to come back and win in overtime. And so, yeah, good for him. That call there with J.B. Long on Rams Radio, and he's our Defensive Player of the Week, sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Yeah, fourth quarter interception, and then the pick six that goes 103 yards. I wonder if he needed oxygen after that, just because these guys aren't used to running quite that much. Maybe in 2 days when they're getting into conditioning shape. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's not just election day. It's also the trade deadline. And people have asked, in large part because of the loss of Aiden Hutchinson, but also because the Lions are on the cusp of something extremely special, what might they do at the trade deadline? Dan Campbell was asked about the odds. I feel like asking a coach about odds is probably a bad idea, but what are the odds that the Lions make a move before the deadline?
Yeah, I think it's hard to say. I mean, it's I don't think it's entirely up to us, you know? I can tell you we're trying. Brad's trying and looked at everything. We really have made a ton of calls, and he's been rolling on it. So we'll see. We still got a little bit of time here. You know, we got till tomorrow evening. So we'll see what happens.
That was his answer on Monday. And do the Lions need to add someone? That's the question. And he says they're making calls, more than likely trying to add. Well, you'll add depth. You'll add quality pieces if you can get them for a reasonable exchange in any case. But they're definitely looking to add someone to the D-line, someone who can rush the passer to try to fill the hole left by Aiden Hutchinson. So, yeah, is it a need? Is that something that they're approaching this day with?
No, I mean, look, if it's not, we're rolling. We got our guys and we're going, you know, and that's the bottom line. So And look, if something doesn't get done, we'll start poaching some of these other practice squads, see if we can find some guys that that we really liked when they were coming out, have some ability, see if they can grow. And then we'll continue to give our guys here on this roster a shot, you know?
It's not just Aiden Hutchinson. They've lost a few guys from the D-line, even going back to training camp and earlier in the season. So it's a need for them, if you can qualify as a need, because obviously they are one of the best teams in the NFL right now. They've got the 7-1 record. And if it not for an overtime drive by the Kansas City Chiefs in the rain, well, they'd be tied with the same number of wins as those Chiefs. I know it right now, it doesn't matter who's the best team in the NFL because they'll settle this on the field. But it is pretty incredible to think about some of the unfolding storylines and where we stand at the midway point. The fact that you've got a Buffalo Bills team that last year needed to run the table in December to end up winning the AFC East. Now, I know they're not getting as much competition this year. They could actually clinch in week number 10. But they lost pieces. They lost veterans to various different teams. They saw both offensive and defensive skill players end up on other rosters because they weren't going to pay them. This new look roster with some of your young guys, especially on the defensive side, has come together so quickly. And they've added Amari Cooper. I know he's a little banged up, but this is a team that now has everything they want in front of them. And I like the fact that they've flown through the adversity, or they've rolled with the adversity and have come out the other side. They're not going to get pushed by their divisions. They're going to need to find that competition and gauge themselves based on what they've got elsewhere in the league. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they didn't even have their starting quarterback to begin the season. Their defense, their special teams, those were critical. Now they've made this move to Russell Wilson because that's what Mike Tomlin believed in. And their offense I know they just had their bye, but their offense in the two previous weeks, on the way up, trending up in pretty much every major category. And right now, they've got the half-game lead over the Ravens, who were the top seed in the AFC a year ago. The Texans, they're learning what it's like to have a target on your back, right? Learning what it's like to be a front runner and not catching teams by surprise. And they don't love how they're playing right now, kind of feeling like their best is still to come. But they're also sitting on 6 wins. And then even in the AFC West, you've got the Chargers and Broncos, who both have 5 wins. So different look this year. And while we're talking about the NFC and the Lions at 7-1, the Commanders are an incredible story. I said it on last night's show. The fact that they are 7-2 for the first time since the mid-90s, that's amazing because the 90s are back. So yeah, you've got the Commanders and the Lions with 7 wins. The Falcons with 6. That's second most wins in the NFC. And then the Cardinals, we'll see how long that lasts. In the NFC West, they're at 5 wins. So yeah, lots of cool stuff. Great storylines unfolding. We'll see what happens with the trade deadline. It could be busy. It could not. Sometimes it's hard to know who's willing to wheel and deal. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
His heroics made us swoon this weekend.
I'm the best ever.
I am the greatest.
Now it's time to name the After Hours Monday MVP.
I need a hero.
Hurts in the gun. Barkley to his right. Motion, Jahan Dotson. Back goes Hurts. He's looking. He's pumping. He is floating it for Barkley, who catches it for a touchdown. Just inside the right sideline. Hurts in the gun. He backpedals. He's looking. Still looking. He fires it out in the flat to Barkley, who beats one man, spins past another, leaps over a third, and comes down at the 30.
What was that? I've never seen that move, and I've been watching football all my life.
Well, he did that. He did that to show off to Shady McCoy.
He's never done this. No one's ever done this. He hurdles a guy backwards. How do you jump over a guy backwards?
It was the best play I've ever seen. Saquon's play, I think is so cool, there's going to be kids all over the country and all over Philadelphia. I really think about that, trying to make that play and talking about that play and, like, simulating that play as they play backyard football or peewee football. Like, they ain't gonna be able to make it because that play is, I think he's the only one in the world that could do that. I thought it was I'm speechless. Like, it was unbelievable.
God has blessed Saquon with some special things, you know, and
I really genuinely pray he continues to use those things in the fullness of him and, you know, give him the glory with that because that's special stuff he's capable of doing. So, you know, we just need him to continue to be that type of player.
Here we go with his 3rd and 18. They can get to the 2 for a first down. They hand the ball off to Barkley.
Oh, they can
He's
do
at
this.
The 10. He's at the 5. Touchdown! Barkley!
Oh,
20
they
yards!
Can do this.
You chose him overwhelmingly, Saquon Barkley, as the Monday MVP. And yeah, we tried to name that move. So my husband came up with something that I thought was fun. I was kind of mad that I didn't come up with it myself. The backward booty. Well, we shouldn't call it the backward booty call because that would be gross. But the backward booty bounce, something along those lines. Yeah, lots of names. That one's going to live on in all of the various highlight reels from the 2024 season. Thanks so much for voting. You can now vote for TD of the Week, that poll up at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page. You're also weighing in with the items you cannot leave home without. And some of these are funny. Jeff, a chip on my shoulder. Michael, my rings. Let's see, another one. Cynthia, I did it once. It was horrifying. Left for work without my bottom teeth. I don't know. I don't know if that's real or not. Sean says my earbuds. And Jose goes with eye drops and gum. And then on our Twix, I love this one. Malik, I can't leave the house without my massage gun that my wife got me for Father's Day. I use it every day, all day. I'm a truck driver, by the way. Yeah, you need that massage gun. All right, enjoy your election day. Go vote. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!